The Get This podcast is brought to you by ProPhotoGo.com, professional photography on demand. Use coupon code GETTHIS to get 10% off your professional photo session. So whether you need new headshots, or you have a big event coming up, an engagement, a wedding, you name it, or let's say you just want new photos so you can look snazzy on social media, ProPhotoGo is professional photography on demand. Use coupon code GETTHIS and get 10% off. Go to ProPhotoGo.com. The Get This podcast is also brought to you by the best WordPress hosting available, WP Engine. People who know me know I build enterprise-level WordPress websites that are seen by millions of people a year, and I host all of my websites with WP Engine. They're a company based in Austin, Texas. They have outstanding support, and I personally couldn't recommend them more. If you go to getthispodcast.com, look for the WP Engine link and get 20% off your first year of exceptional, fast, secure WordPress hosting at WP Engine. Again, go to getthispodcast.com and look for the WP Engine link for 20% off. Hey everybody, this is Kevin Kautzman with the podcast Get This. It's a show about the things that people love. We're here in New York City, and it is, I know this time, it's 2019. February 4th, 2019, and I'm here with my good friend Dwayne Williams. Dwayne, say hi.
Hi.
And what are we here to talk about tonight, Dwayne? You know, on this show about the things that people love. What are we talking about? What's going on?
Well, I was recently talking to my sister, and we were discussing concert moments, and I thought maybe that would be a good topic to discuss tonight.
I love this idea. Yeah. And so Dwayne, to give you a little bit of background, is a photographer. He's visiting New York from the Twin Cities, from Minneapolis, St. Paul, and he has great taste in music. He's one of my oldest buddies. So when he said this to me, I was like, oh, this is going to be a great episode. I can't wait. Talking about concert moments. So things like concerts that you've seen, shows you've been to, where you just think to yourself, I'm never going to see that again. Right? Like that was the best thing.
Yeah.
Is that the idea?
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
sure.
That sounds good.
Yeah. And then we can probably like roll that into talking about concert films and things, right?
Concert films.
Well, you know what I mean? Like, you know, the Bowie, Glastonbury film. There's the Zeppelin one, right? The Song Remains the Same, where they kind of weave that all in. Yeah, that's fun.
I've never seen either one of those.
All right. Well, all right, that was a really short podcast, Wayne. It's great radio. No, it's we're going to figure it out. The other one that I really like is the Gorillaz, the Demon Days concert.
Yeah, that's amazing.
That one's amazing. Yeah. If you haven't seen that, check that out. So you were talking to your sister when about this?
Actually, a couple days ago. Before I came out here. I remembered it, but for some reason I was thinking like I had seen it on TV or something. Not that I was actually there. But I don't know. Yeah, I don't
wait,
know
why. So you're talking about a concert that you had been to.
Yeah.
But you remember it like it was TV?
Yeah, I don't know why.
No, but what concert?
It was a Michael Jackson show. Oh. It was a Michael Jackson concert.
Okay, all right. Let's go into it.
What happened was... all right, he did his show. He had
what year?
Oh, geez, that's a good question. It was in the in the 80s.
What tour?
I don't remember.
Okay, that's all right. Yeah, yeah.
That's how memorable it is.
Yeah. No,
I don't remember any of that.
We're talking about moments, you know. This is not. Yeah.
No, but the moment is because he came out to do his encore, right?
Yeah.
Everybody's staying, you know, the typical concert thing.
Was it in like Minneapolis?
Yeah.
What? Where was it?
At the Well, it was the St. Paul Civic Center.
Gotcha.
Now it's the XL.
The XL Center. Yeah, yeah, where the Wild play.
Yeah.
Yeah, the hockey team.
And
I saw Paul McCartney there. Pretty cool.
Did you?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't mind seeing him.
Please. I took my mom to see Paul McCartney.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's it was
I mean, important. You know, because I diss his solo career so much. But I actually would like to see him.
The guy wrote Hey Jude. Give me a break.
Well,
we were talking smack about Oblah Dee Oblah Da before. I mean, that's pretty easy pickings, right?
I like that song.
Right. Yeah. Apparently, it's a reggae song.
Yeah.
All right, or if you say so.
He tried to make a reggae song. That was kind of okay. The whole point of it, or something. No, right. There was I guess some guy in some like reggae band or some calypso band that was friends with them, and that's where he got the saying from.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh man, God, they were so high.
Yeah. There you go.
So MJ, the 80s.
Oh, Michael Jackson. Yeah. Yeah, we're hanging out for the encore and everything. And when the encore starts, the curtains open, and it's the Jackson 5.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, and they don't even like really speak. Oh, well, couldn't have been heard over the crowd at that moment anyway.
Right.
But yeah, you're expecting Michael Jackson, and it's the Jackson 5, and they did... like all their singles in chronological order.
Whoa.
You know,
yeah.
Excuse me. Starting with, you know, their very first one up until like State of Shock.
And he's doing the high parts and the parts like
and he's singing when he was lead a kid. With them, yeah.
Jesus.
And they went through it. It was like a full show. Like they played for like an hour and a half.
Whoa.
Yeah.
And that was the encore.
Crazy. Yeah. That was the encore of his show. God.
That's so like muscular.
It was
just boss.
It was so loud in the crowd, like people screaming and going nuts. The place sure, just
were people crying? Just, were people freaking
it
out?
It was chaos. Yeah. it was like seriously pandemonium.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and you know, I thought that was amazing because I loved them when I was a kid.
But, sure.
You know, I never thought I'd get to see them or anything. It's like
right. What a gift.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did they do that on the entire tour?
I don't know. I don't know.
We must be able to look that up. Not during the show here, but that's very interesting. You know, I wonder too, could a performer get away with something like that now? Probably not. It would leak.
Yeah, that was the surprise to me too. It's like, we didn't hear anything about it. Nobody, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. How do you do that for an entire tour and nobody knows about it?
Maybe you were hallucinating.
Yeah, maybe.
This might have been a dream on the way back from
the
show. Yes,
my sister was wrong about the thing. It was like, I was on acid.
Right. No, you weren't. You've never done acid.
No, I haven't.
I know that much about
she
you.
She was like, my God, you don't remember. How do you not remember that? I was like, I thought I remember it. And then I like described it to her and she's like, yeah. Because we were in the audience.
Mm.
And I was like, okay, cool.
What about, you've got some great show memories. I know you saw U2 at First Ave. I know you saw them. Did you say like on War?
I saw them on the War tour. I don't think it was at First
Ave. That would have been where?
Wonder. That was like, geez, Northrop.
Oh, I got you. Yeah, that makes sense.
Northrop Auditorium.
All right. So, yeah. What about Prince? You got any great... Prince memories?
Prince memories? Holy smokes. I'm trying to think of something, of like a one single thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I bet I've seen him actually more times than I've seen anybody else. Because like all those Secret First Avenue gigs and all that kind of stuff that everybody talks about, I saw like all of those.
Mm-hmm.
Or most of them anyway.
Yeah.
Because I knew people that worked there at the time, so you know.
Whenever he wanted to play out, he just said, "Hey, I'm gonna come and play." And
well, you know, the people I knew that worked there would just like they couldn't officially say that they just called me. They'd be like, "Be here tonight." And I'm like, "All right."
Yeah. How would that go? What would a night look like when you were doing a secret Prince gig at First Avenue? Would you show up at like 10 or 11?
No, you'd get there earlier than that, so you get in because that word gets out.
Be like a weekday thing,
and it only doesn't hold that many people.
Sure, so sure.
You're
sure.
still trying to get in there.
Right, right, right.
So you kind of be standing outside in front of the place.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It would just be a show, a print show. He just did them to rehearse his band a lot live.
Right, right.
So that, you know, they were prepared for that. It's different than rehearsing in the studio or whatever when you're actually in front of an audience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, miscues and everything else up there. But no, it was a lot of things like those things, if you've ever seen Purple Rain, where it was like the battle of the bands, they would kind of fake battle of the band things like that between like the Time and Prince's band. And
yeah, yeah.
Time and the Revolution, I guess.
Did they look like they were having fun? And they were having fun, having a good time?
Yeah.
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 Cool.
It was some pretty good moments. I've seen what was it? Was it Vanity Six's first show? One of their first shows. And it was the same kind of thing. It was at this bar over in South Minneapolis that doesn't exist anymore, called the Nacarima Club. And which I always thought was an amazing name.
Nacarima.
Yeah.
Hmm.
It's American backwards.
Oh, right.
And it's okay.
Yeah, okay, all right.
Black bar.
Sure, sure,
that
sure.
You had to,
yeah, that makes sense.
Knock on the door to get in.
Gotcha. All right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I always love that word.
Nacarima.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Cool.
So, yeah, it was there. And like the Time where their backup band, and they were kind of supposed to be playing incognito.
Sure.
Like they were behind a screen or something.
Uh-huh.
And the girls were out front singing.
So you were talking to your sister about this MJ concert, and that got you on this notion of talking about great concert moments.
Yeah. If I can think of some more.
I'm sure you will eventually. Yeah. I'm sure I can come up with some.
Yeah. What's your great concert
moments? Well, no. Oh, that's nice. Yeah. Recently I saw Have a Nice Life in Brooklyn, and it was last year. And this is a band that does kind of this dark shoegaze. They're on this label called The Flintzer, which is, they're out of San Francisco, and it's, you know, they print a lot of vinyl. It's very underground and cool. And Have a Nice Life had this album called Death Consciousness, which was their first album. And they, you know, they made it for $1,000 in their bedroom in Connecticut in 2006, 2007, something like that. And it's the kind of album where if you listen to it, you would never think, ah, this is going to have a breakout moment. But people discovered it on Reddit, and it gathered a cult following. And you know, now they're, you know, it's getting, they have at least one track has 1 million plays on Spotify, and that to me is so wonderful. It's like so cool. It doesn't sound like corporate music at all. Just bedroom music. That's what they call it. It's the kind of thing you make with like an 8-track and a computer and. Right. An old Casio keyboard and a, you know, a bass your older brother left when he went to college. Just music like that. I love it. And that show was wild because I did not know what to expect. I mean, I haven't been to a hardcore show, and I'm closer to 40 than 30. I mean, yeah. And just really cathartic. Very cool. And a mosh pit. I didn't expect a mosh pit. So I'm going to go see them again, you know, in March. It's going to be pretty cool. I'm trying to think of other shows that have been really important to me in terms of the show. I mean, I mentioned Paul. You know, seeing Paul with my mom was pretty cool. Just the idea with that show of, you know, the tickets weren't cheap, but they weren't prohibitive either. And we're in St. Paul. You know, my dad's long gone, but I know that he loved the Beatles, and my mom loved the Beatles, and you know, my mother, you knew my mother, not to make this too personal, but just how special that is. There's a lot of, you know, all this stuff is sort of about mediation, right? It's about, you listen to albums, you see them on video, and it's like, they're not quite real.
Right.
And then you buy the ticket, and then you're 100 feet away.
Yeah.
And you're going, oh, that's the guy. that there he is. And here's, you know, and just the look on my mom's face. It was beautiful. Lovely. Just such a special moment.
Yeah, that is awesome.
Go to the show.
Go to what? Paul McCartney?
No, that's my motto is like go to the yeah. damn show. You're not going to regret going to the show for sure. Some more will come back to me too. There have to be some movies, some like concert videos too we can talk about. That's a fun thing too. Like that's a completely different art, you know, getting that stuff to translate on video. It's crazy when it works. Yeah. The song remains the same is pretty great. Yeah. I got to watch the Bowie one, Glastonbury. I think it just came out recently.
Yeah, I've never seen that.
Yeah. And it's like they released a CD or whatever, an album. Mm-hmm. Like a child of the 90s, I call it a CD. It's like 2 hours long. It's just this legendary performance that Bowie did in Glastonbury. I think it was like, can't remember what year it was, like 2000, 2002 or something like that. Super cool.
2002. What album was
what that? I don't know. It's not or like he was touring an album. I think he was just kind of being the Frank Sinatra of Britain.
Right.
Yeah. That's really who he was. Oh, and that is a tough miss for me to not get to see him.
I saw him a couple times.
All right, talk about that.
Okay. When was the first time? The first time I saw him was the Glass Spider Tour, which I didn't. I was just kind of going because it was like Bowie.
Yeah, No.
So you kind of had to go. I had never seen him.
What year?
I think that was the Never Let Me Down album, which of course let everybody down.
But, well, yeah, you know, yeah.
But yeah, that's what I mean. I wasn't thrilled about the album at all, but you know, most of it wasn't that album, right? You know, right. He's performing all the songs you wanted to go see. You just had to sit through a couple of ones you didn't like. That
Yeah. I'm looking at the images from this. He is definitely rocking a mullet.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, he came down from the ceiling in that little lounge chair.
1987, the Glass Spider Tour here. David Bowie. And he's got angel wings and a mullet. Wow. This was sort of his nadir. This was not his highest moment. This was, I fucking love David Bowie. I read I've been saying this, the oral biography, and it's pretty awesome. It's a great way to get at him in terms of his life. How do you handle that? How do you, like, one person is going to write the biography of David Bowie? It doesn't even make sense.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So, yeah, tremendous. But was it a good show?
Yeah. I mean, it was Bowie. It was well done, and you know, the musicians are all great. And it's just that was an album I didn't like. But you know, like I said, most of it was more greatest hits and everything, so it was fine. It wasn't as bad as everybody would kind of make it out to be because it was that door.
Yeah, for sure. Interesting. You mentioned the last time I was hanging out in Minneapolis, you were talking about seeing Nine Inch Nails a couple of times when they were coming around on the first album.
Yeah, at first half, that was kind of a pandemonium too. Trent Reznor covered in, covered in mud or something? I don't know what the hell he was doing. And hanging upside down and screaming and, young and angry and on his first tour. That was pretty nice.
That sounds pretty awesome to me. That was one of my first big concerts was to, we drove 11 hours from Mandan, North Dakota in a, minivan that probably needed an oil change to Madison, Wisconsin to see Nine Inch Nails on the Fragile tour. That was a big deal. That was a big deal for us. We're little nerdy pilgrims going on our little dark pilgrimage. A Perfect Circle opened. That was pretty cool. That was a good show.
Yeah, that does sound good.
That was a good show. Yeah, I think it was like the fifth or sixth time they played out outside of LA. That's a pretty good opening act. In a way, the opener was better than the Nine Inch Nails.
Oh, really?
Well, just because I was a huge Tool fan.
Yeah.
Still am. If they could just put out another album.
Right. If.
Yeah. One day they will. Well, this is fascinating. Yeah, these live shows. There's so much energy that goes into seeing it. Like I was telling you, we're going to go see Massive Attack on the Mezzanine Tour. I'm going to get to see Liz from Cocteau Twins and Horace Andy. That's amazing. I'm going to see Have a Nice Life. Then I'm going to see Dead Can Dance. I've never seen Dead Can Dance in concert.
Never seen them either.
I saw Lisa Gerrard in London in 2007, but it's not the same. Right. It was fantastic. She's amazing. I mean, you just want to be there to let her kind of sing. It's wonderful. But that's going to be a great show. And that new album is awesome, too, if you haven't heard. Well, I played some of it for you. Yeah. Dionysus from Dead Can Dance is so good.
Yeah.
Just, I have that on vinyl, and you put that on, and wow. Whoa. Reconsider drugs. Reconsider. You can trip after 40. It's fine. Just have a guide. Have a good friend. Have a good album.
Let's see. You know what I'm thinking of right now is Bad Brains. The first time I saw the Bad Brains, I had... I don't know if I had actually heard them or had their albums or anything at the time when I very first saw them, and everybody was like assuming they were my favorite band because, you know, I was like the black art school punk rock kid, you know. I was like the, you know, Rasta dreadlock punk rocker, you know, that kind of thing. And they're like, you don't know the Bad Brains? Just like, of course you know the Bad, you know, you look like one of them. What do you mean you don't know the Bad Brains? So I went to see them, and it just blew my mind. It was like one of them shows. They came out on stage. God, I wish I remembered the first song it was now, but it was just like a rock got dropped on you. No, I was just sitting there with my jaw open the first time I saw them. I was just so in love with that band. I was just like, oh my God.
Did they do anything in particular, or was it just the way they were?
It was just these four Rastafarian guys playing like punk metal. And it was just so mind blowing. It was just so serious. And, you know, it sounded so good. It was just so it, what you wanted, what, you know, what I wanted it to sound like, I guess.
Right. Right.
And HR, like, you know, doing backflips off the drum riser and
all this stuff. Where did you see them?
First half. Excuse me.
Yeah, what year?
I'm sorry.
Oh, no, don't apologize, please.
What year? That would have been in the 80s sometime around their first.
No, I never got into this band, so I'm gonna check these guys out. What's
God,
what it is?
They're beautiful.
Like, yeah, yeah. It's like black punk metal, like reggae. What is it?
It's all of that.
That sounds great.
It's all of that, yeah.
Yeah, cool. It's fun, too. There's a picture, if you Google Bad Brains and go to images, there's definitely a picture of them all looking like uncles.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, which is...
Your Rasta uncles.
Yeah, yeah. He's the one who shows up.
And then they shred.
Late to the party.
Yeah. Eyes half closed.
Yeah, exactly. So. Can't be bothered. Tremendous. These guys look legit, though. That's awesome.
Yeah, never heard the Bad Brains.
Well, yeah, I'm sure you've mentioned it before. Oh yeah, God. Yeah. No, I'm gonna you know, after this podcast, I'm gonna get turned on to Bad Brains. That's great. Yeah, man, you've always been great turning me on to lots of different music, man. You were the first one who mentioned Cocteau Twins to me, which is like,
yeah,
please. And also Manix. Let's talk about Manix.
Manix Street Preachers.
Yeah, Manix Street Preachers. Another great concert that I saw, which was the 25th anniversary of the Holy Bible. If white America told itself the truth for one day, its world would fall apart.
I wish I would have seen that show, man. I love that record.
Oh, dude, that's a good record.
Okay, what did they? That was like the You just said it. It was the 25th anniversary
of the Holy Bible.
Of the Holy Bible, and they played it like the whole
verbatim.
Album. Yeah.
Just the whole album.
Did they do a greatest hits thing afterwards?
Then they took a little break and they did another, 40 minutes or whatever. Because that album's only 45, 50 minutes.
Right, right.
You know, I mean, not that that's whatever.
Well, I was just wondering, because I don't know if it would be too heavy or what, but it would be kind of cool if they did, if they had done the sequel too.
Yeah. Well, that we saw that Journal of the Plague Lovers. Yeah, I don't know if that show would probably be too much. It's like a little too...
Both those albums.
Yeah, it's a little too much. You get like, the rate of suicide has increased in New York City. We can't quite figure it out. But it's like people are wrapping themselves in Welsh flags and throwing themselves into the Hudson River.
Off the river, yeah.
The flags are cool. The coolest flag in the world is the Welsh flag. Got a fucking dragon on your flag.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah. No, that's a great album. If you don't know that, the Holy Bible, incredible. Yeah, and that show was great. I mean, they're a powerhouse band, super fun.
Mm-hmm.
The lyrics of that album are just like, it's very serious rock and roll. There's room for that, totally. Is there like a number one Bad Brains album?
A number one,
or just like if you had to like recommend one.
What would I recommend? I would have to...
I'll pull up the discography right now. Yeah.
I like Quickness. I like all of them, though.
Yeah. Yeah, you sound like a big fan.
Quickness was more... Quickness. I like Quickness. I think you'd like that.
Cool. Yeah, I'm going to check them out. It's fun.
Rock for Light is a good album, too.
Rock for Light. That's a good name for an album.
Eye Against Eye.
Oh, I've heard about that.
That's a good record.
You know who told me about that?
Who?
A Lyft driver.
A Lyft driver?
From Minneapolis, who is like driving us around upstate. You get an exception because I respect the hell out of you. And I love your recommendation. So if you tell me to listen to something, I will.
Mm-hmm.
But generally, I wait for two. If I hear it twice, but now it's like really online.
Now you have to listen.
Now I have to listen to this. Yeah. Eye Against Eye. That guy was talking about that. And he's like a drummer from Minneapolis, this guy. So there must be some connection. What a great music town, man. The Twin Cities. Give me a break.
Yeah, there's
underrated. You don't sleep on the Twin Cities.
They've always been kind of music crazy like that. Bands have always done well there, and it's always had a quote unquote scene, it seems like. I mean, I'm an old fart now, so I have no idea what's going on now, but
you're not that old.
But back in the day, but it's like there
what,
was
yeah. What do you think it is? I mean, it's never going to be Austin or Nashville, but is it that it's a place you can live, you can kind of live, raise a family, be a musician there,
and
is that it?
Starve.
And not starve, it's not the worst place in the world to live. The quality of living is pretty high.
Right.
Yeah. And there is a respect for the arts.
Yeah.
In that town. You can be an artist there. People don't completely cross their eyes at you.
Well, it's funny though, because maybe it's that way with all these kind of scenes when they break out. Just that there's not that many places to play when they're first starting things. You know what I mean? And you go, but it's like you think back on Minneapolis and it's like you're going to see, Soul Asylum in somebody's basement when they're first starting. And you know what I mean? Stuff like that. Kind of crazy. And like all those, like we said, all those gigs with the time and everything, I saw like in high school them coming up. They were local bands at the time, and now it's Jimmy Jam and Terry, mm-hmm. So it's kind of
global superstars coming out of a place too. If you've never been to the Twin Cities, it's
And Jimmy Jam was like my favorite, what my one of my favorite DJs when I was in high school. Yeah. I used to go to all his sets and you know, stuff like that.
That's awesome. Yeah. Not it's not a big city. It's not. It's sort of spread out. It's not, but there's a cool thing. It's very cool.
Yeah.
There's a thing. The winters are long.
There you go. They have lots of rehearsal time.
I've been in some of those rehearsal spaces in the middle of winter. It's you know, people bundled up in their coats playing guitar and trying to keep their hands warm. Yeah, yeah. That's so funny. There got to be some other concerts we can rattle off the top of our brains. I already talked about some different concert videos. I'm going to repeat myself, but that Demon Days video film, so good. Gorillaz Demon Days.
Yeah.
Even
that
if
was
you don't like
mind blowing when it came out, yeah.
Yeah. Multimedia, bringing lots of different things. Tremendous. The antidote to the shitty Super Bowl we had yesterday.
Okay.
That was the worst. Worst Super Bowl ever.
I didn't really
all right. Well, it
really
doesn't count.
Football guys.
So. Here's what I want to ask you. How do you end up, not you, in the royal you, how do you end up in your life on the field waving your hands, your pasty white hands, to the beat of Maroon 5 during the Super Bowl? How much does Pepsi have to pay you to be in the front row of that?
Like the audience?
Yeah. Those were all extras, of course. I mean, right. Not a single person was there. It was all curated. What a nightmare. We're living in this like nightmare. Ugh.
You know what, man? I don't really pay attention to any of that stuff anymore.
You're right. Yeah,
I don't. I mean, like the Grammys and all the award shows and the Oscars and stuff. And everybody's all up in arms about them. And I'm like, my God, people still watch.
Pay attention to this shit. Yeah, yeah.
I haven't paid attention to any of this in decades.
That's probably the right call. But then, you know, but Prince did the Super Bowl a few years ago and it was amazing.
Right.
We could have that. We could have that every time. There are musicians of that caliber waiting to do that gig. Mm. They would be happy to do that gig, but instead you have to present this neutered calf of a performance. I'm just saying. I mean, my line was like, they turned America into an elevator for 30 minutes.
Hey, man, he's tattooed.
Hey, well, you know, all right. You're just like, here, this music is presented to you by Starbucks. Decaffeinated Starbucks. We wouldn't want you to be too awake for the revolution.
What revolution?
Exactly.
Sleep through it.
Yeah, it won't be televised either. I don't know. I'm trying to think of other great concerts I've seen. Great live shows that I've seen. I've seen some great theater in my day, but that's not really on topic. What else is going on? What have you been doing with your life? You taking care of yourself?
Eh.
Yeah.
Sure.
What have you been watching lately on TV?
Oh, you know what I like right now is, what's it called? Netflix, The Kominsky Method.
Oh, you were talking about this. What's that about?
Oh, man, that is so funny. It's kind of an odd couple-ish type of thing. Mm-hmm. It's two old guys. One's an actor, one's a cranky actor, and one's his cranky agent that's they've known each other and worked together for like 40 years.
Oh, damn.
And
wait, does he teach acting?
He teaches it.
Oh,
yeah.
I think I've heard of this.
Yeah, it's Michael Douglas and oh my God, Alan Arkin.
Oh, nice. Oh, okay, sold.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. Is it in the first season or is it in multiple seasons?
First.
Netflix or?
Yeah.
Cool. That's awesome. You turned me on to Schitt's Creek.
Yeah, I got to finish watching that
show
last
is
season.
So good.
And it's so
that
funny.
I cannot believe how good it is. And it just gets better and better and better and better consistently.
Yeah.
And it doesn't dip. They deepen the characters. It's slight. They become more real. Their season finales tend to be just a deepening of the characters. Mm-hmm. They stop being so stereotypical somehow. And then they move on to the next season and they keep kind of growing, but not too much, because you wouldn't want them to grow too much. It's great. It's really a great show.
Yeah. Well, really well thought out. Because as much as I, you know, thought David was hilarious, it was like, what could you do with him?
Right.
Season after season.
Well, that's the, that was the criticism that the Times offered when they finally did a review of it, was it started out kind of glib, but it's really found itself. And I can't disagree. Mm-hmm. The first, you know, the first season, I had that very same thought when we first watched it a couple years ago. I said, this is funny, but they got to play a different note pretty soon because this is going to exhaust itself. But mm-hmm. they're geniuses. You know, Eugene Levy, the comic genius.
Right.
This is so funny. His eyes alone and his eyebrows. Right. I could watch Eugene Levy make faces. And I, you know, that's an actor. That is a real actor.
Everyone on that is just really amazing, though. Oh, yeah. And his wife.
Moira.
Just, oh, my God.
Catherine
She's
O'Hara.
So good.
People keep talking. Is it Catherine O'Hara or Catherine O'Hara? Catherine O'Hara, something like
that. I think it's O'Hara.
O'Hara. They keep saying, why is she not nominated for an Emmy? Nobody can understand why. It's that good. It's so funny. Yeah. Love it.
What about you?
What am I watching lately? It's been that. I was thinking about movies lately. We were talking about the Oscars.
I haven't seen a lot of them.
Yeah. The Favorite.
I haven't seen that.
Yep. You got to see The Favorite. If you haven't seen The Favorite, it's pretty awesome.
I saw Roma.
Okay. Would you recommend that?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's too long, but yeah.
I said the same thing about The Favorite. It feels like it's too long by 20 minutes. Spoiler alert.
It's like it's... Yeah, yeah.
It's no,
like
no. It's not a spoiler alert.
Serious movie, so it has to be
long
and...
Yeah. Just maybe cut some of those scenes.
Yeah.
Just cut some of those scenes.
We don't... Even though it's beautiful, we don't have to watch her fold clothes for 5 minutes.
Especially in the third act.
Yeah, you know.
Cut me some fucking slack. We get it.
We can
pick the clothes are beautiful.
We can pick it up a little bit here.
Right. But it was chop, chop.
It was a good movie, though.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I'll have to see that. I'll have to see that. I did start watching the Dahmer documentary.
Oh, how's
which it? Is problematic. People keep talking about how it's a little troubling.
Troubling, yeah.
Well, I mean, it's obviously it's about Jeffrey Dahmer.
Yeah, well, but the idea, all right.
Yeah, but this idea that they kind of make him into a rock star a little. They kind of, they don't really give service to the victims quite to the degree they might. Hmm. I need to watch the rest of it. I'm a little cagey about my... Because I haven't seen the whole thing. Hmm. They definitely make it slick and you kind of feel like you're reading the tabloids a little. And we just have to be careful that we don't allow fancy editing and tricks to make us, I don't know, somehow complicit in indulging something that's exploitative. I mean, people are dead on the other side of this,
right?
In a horrible way,
right?
And, you know, there's this temptation. You know, if you made the same thing about Mengele, people would you'd be you know, banned forever. Mm-hmm. But because it's this one lone guy and he's charismatic and we have the tapes, you want to trouble his legacy. It's sort of sensational. There are problems with the way it's represented, I think, is the issue.
Mm. Mm. Okay.
Yeah. Just how much do you want to indulge in this creep who murdered innocent people?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I guess I haven't seen it, so I have no idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
I could see that.
It's just torn people in this. The true crime community is a real thing. People are really into that, and problems of representation are a big part of that. How do you tell the story in a way that's just as a storyteller? Because it's very easy to make these guys, to romanticize them. It's a problem.
Hmm.
Right?
Why would you? I don't know. I guess I just don't see the romanticization. Is that the word?
It is now. That counts. Yeah, you get a pass. The romanticization? romanticizing?
of
I don't know
people like that.
Yeah,
it's but, like, you know.
But he was super charming. He was very charismatic. I mean, this is a guy who he knocked a gal up in prison.
Well, there you go.
I mean, wow. Good googly moogly.
How's that work?
Yeah, these conjugal visits. What do you mean, how does that work?
Well, you mean...
Do we have to have the talk on the podcast, Wayne?
I mean, that guy is getting conjugal visits.
Yeah, crazy. It's very, very strange. I mean, these serial killers, a lot of them tend to be highly charismatic.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. How else, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it helps. You know, any other guy, you'd be like, get out of here.
Get the fuck out of here. Yeah, what the? Get out of my sorority house, shithead. What's
but
that?
Yeah, I think, I was going to say that there's like a romanticization.
people know what you're trying to say.
With madness.
Ah.
It gets kind of
glorified
in
or
a way, yeah, or
eroticized
or almost like it's cool to be the crazy one or something.
Yeah, because I think it's equated to freedom. You must be so free, right? You're not worried about your bills. You're not worried about taxes. You're not worried about your job. You're free. You're liberated because you're mad. Yeah, that's quite curious. That gets back to The Favorite too. The Favorite's about madness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the madness of making art and being and love. Very cool. That's a very rich topic to mine. Yeah, that's very troubling.
Well, I just don't think it's the reality, of course, it doesn't quite live up to that.
You think?
All the drug taken and everything else is like, no, actually, for real, he died penniless and alone in his apartment, and
destroyed everybody around him.
Right, exactly.
Everybody who ever trusted him or her. Reading the Bowie oral biography, they talk a lot about Iggy Pop.
Mm-hmm.
And do you have any Iggy Pop concert stories?
Oh, been to a lot of Iggy Pop shows, actually.
All right. Let's come back and talk more about shows.
Bum rushed my way into an Iggy Pop show once.
Get into the mic and talk about that. What do you mean you bum rushed your way into an Iggy Pop show?
Well, he was sold out and I was trying to get in and the music started and people started pushing and stuff. So I just kind of like leapt over the turnstile with a friend of mine and went into the show.
Okay. Where was that?
That was First Ave too.
That's a great fucking story.
Everything's First Ave. They didn't literally let them play anywhere else back in the day. So.
Right. What year was that?
Oh my God. I don't know.
So it was when you could still leap.
Right. When I was still diving. And, I was taking pictures of him during the show, and he stage dived almost on me. Who landed on me when I was trying to take pictures of him? Fishbone. The lead singer of Fishbone was running around singing, and he dove off the stage, landed right on top of me. I was trying to take pictures of him. They all came out blurry. Yes, I did try to get it.
This is pre-digital, right?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely in the film days back in the day.
Can you, for the podcast, can you share? I know you have a great Iggy Pop picture of him. About the stage dive. That was that show. Yeah.
He's kind of like spread out over the, he's kind of falling into the, I caught him falling and he's in the crowd, kind of like he's Jesus or something.
Yeah, exactly.
He's falling into the thing, but I caught him in focus. So it looks good.
Yeah, it does. You share that with me and I'll put that in the show notes.
Okay.
All right. That's going to go in this episode for sure.
If I can find it.
It's somewhere. I remember that. good fucking photographer, man.
Yeah.
We got in the System of a Down together. You know, I was writing blog posts. Remember that one? You got some photos of them.
Yes. That was a good show.
That was pretty good. Those guys put on a show.
Yeah. I took some photos of Bowie too.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, in that same venue.
You got those anywhere?
Oh yeah, yeah.
How'd you swing that?
It was through Brooke.
Our mutual friend Brooke.
Writing, who was she writing for? She was doing some music journalism for someone. My memory is so good now. This whole show about
it's gonna get
my
worse.
Memories where I'm like,
yeah, no, you're doing fine. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's all good. You got the pictures to prove it.
Yeah, and they had now that show I got like since I was on a press pass, they gave me first three songs and then out. So I had to actually buy a ticket, like even though I was there. Taping the
right first three songs, yeah. And then Bowie's like, "Get out of here, man! Yeah, you got to pay for your ticket." That's all right, though. What is it about? As maybe coming back to first principles, but what is it about being there alive?
What is it?
Just the basic thing, right? Musicians bank on this now too. They're not, I don't think, making their money off Spotify. Right?
Yeah, well, we know that. Yeah, it's touring and merchandise.
You want to be there. You want to be at the show. It's a social thing.
It's a community thing.
Yeah, it's an event. It's a thing to go do.
Man, but, I remember when I was a kid, I wanted to be of legal age so I could go to concerts and movies. That was it. That was I didn't really care about anything else. All that job, getting a job stuff.
Right, you get a job so you can go to the shows. Yeah, get a job so you can go to the show. It is awesome when it all kind of comes together. But when you see a bad gig too, that's rough.
Mm-hmm.
I can't really think short outside of the theater, and I've seen plenty of terrible theater and have been a part of plenty of terrible theater. But that's easy to do. But music is it's the thing about music is as long as everybody's kind of playing their part, it's like sex or pizza. Even when it's bad, it's good.
Right.
You know, you're out there. It's a cliche, but you know, you're out there. It's you're among people. When it's great is when there's a level of, there's a feeling of spontaneity to it. I guess that's why you call it playing, right? These musicians don't. Every song doesn't have to sound exactly the same every night. Should be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wonder if anybody has like a floating playlist.
What do you mean?
Like that. Where it is different like that from night to night.
I guess it probably depends on the band, right? Like, I bet jam bands and things are doing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They're just kind of going out there and doing their thing, but.
Otherwise, it'd be kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, it gets a little difficult, right? Because people also want to. I do sometimes think about these poor musicians who are touring on the same songs from the 70s. That's got to be rough. Probably start to go crazy.
Maybe it's easy. You've been playing it.
Right, I guess. You can do it like in a your job. Sleep. Yeah, you might as well just like show up and just phone it in.
Right.
Do the job. What's the best concert you've ever been to? Top three.
Ooh.
Yeah. Dwayne smokes a pack and a half a day. I'm just kidding. He does not. Dwayne, you're like a Boy Scout.
Yeah.
For a, you know.
Be prepared.
For an old black punk.
Yeah. Old black punk Boy Scout. Best shows ever. Ooh. There's too many. There's too many.
Rattle them off.
I'm trying to think, like. You know, one of my favorite shows, it just pops in my head. Bo Diddley.
Bo Diddley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because when I saw him, he was like 60-something. And he was touring. So I thought, well, you know, let me go.
Yeah, you want to see that. Yeah,
see the legend.
Yep.
He tore the place down. It was great. Oh my God. He was at the caboose. He destroyed the place.
Oh, wow.
It was amazing. Amazing. Bo Diddley.
Yeah. First,
when I was in high school, when I saw Bootsy Collins, that blew my mind.
Bootsy Collins?
Yeah. Bootsy's Rubber Band. Because that was like my favorite band at the time, and I was pretty new to concerts. You know what the first concert I went to see was?
No.
It was War.
U2.
No.
Oh.
The band.
The band War.
Yeah, When the World is a Ghetto came out. I was like in sixth grade.
When the World is a Ghetto?
The World is a Ghetto is the name
Got
of the
it.
Album.
The World is a Ghetto.
Amazing. You're set up here. Sorry, I'm going to tear the place
You're all right, you're all right, you're all right. It's you and
Which
Bo
is
Diddley.
Another amazing album you need to listen to if you haven't ever heard it.
The World is a Ghetto.
Yeah.
Cool.
I wanted to see him. I was in sixth grade. And my mom and dad basically would have never said yes, but my grandma was up here visiting. And I was like, can I go to see War?
Can I go see War, Grandma?
And, yeah. And she was just like, yeah, sure.
Awesome.
So yeah, we all went and we all got like a contact high.
From the band War?
From the audience, yeah.
Oh, yeah, contact high. It sounds like you were hotboxed.
Yeah, the place was just thick with it, but...
Where was that?
Oh, St. Paul Civic Center, I think. Back in a long time ago.
War of the World, what kind of music is it?
Yeah, it's kind of a mix, too. It's kind of like a R&B with some Latin jazzy kind of tones to
cool.
it.
Cool.
And
it's ranked 444 on 500 of all time from Rolling Stone.
Oh, it's a beautiful record.
I got to check sure that out. Like it. Yeah, I'm going to check that out. I got to get that on vinyl.
It's pretty epic.
I in my neighborhood here, there's a bar that I frequent, and half the guests from on this podcast are probably going to come from that bar. And they do Tuesday vinyl days. And so you bring vinyl in. It's tomorrow. And I brought in Santana Abraxas. That's a pretty good one.
That's
a good album.
That's the same.
Sort of in the same
ish
of this
era ish
kind of sound.
Yeah. Yeah.
The cover is cool. It's got like this car. It's like a
Cadillac getting towed away.
Yeah, it looks cool. I'm going to check that out.
Yeah, you like it.
Fantastic. Okay.
And that was my first show.
That was your first show.
And my first contact tie, I guess. Even my grandma was like, "Whoa, whoa!" when we were leaving the place. My dad picked us up. He was laughing at us after the show when he came to pick us up.
Your grandma took you to a show. The album they were touring was "The World Is a Ghetto."
Yeah.
The band was called War.
Mm-hmm.
That is a cool grandma.
Yeah.
What kind of music was she into?
Oh, she was into like blues and jazz. She came up in those days. She was like Count Basie and Duke Ellington and things like that.
That you could do worse. I was at a writer's group recently, and I'm not trying to throw this person under the bus. I'm sure they have their own reason, but there was one of the writers is working on a project involving jazz, and this person feeding back said something like, "Now I don't really like jazz. You know, I'm not really into jazz music." And there was a visceral, there were 20 other writers there, and there was a visceral, like almost like a hiss.
Like,
there was an audible gasp. And she just was like, "I went, what?" And then, you know, and then everybody was like, "Well, you know, that's like a real shame." Like there was a real, like, you know, and it's fine. And then she's like, "But I'm not, you know." And then she doubled down, and I'm not picking on anyone, you know, it's everybody has their own thing. But then her next statement was like, "But I'm not really into music." And then everyone just kind of went like, you look around going like, Wait, say what? Like, right. Whoa. You don't really know what to do. But, you know, God bless her. I mean, she must have other things she's into. It just, that's just like, to someone like me, it's like saying, I'm not into breathing.
Right.
I know, you know, and I'm not a musician.
Yeah.
You know, I wish I could be. My God. Not really into jazz. Ooh. Okay. Wow, that must be hard. That must be hard for you. Right. I don't know what to say. The world is a ghetto. Found war. What a good name for a band, too. War. Yeah. You know who I would love to see? It's never going to happen because he's dead. Mm-hmm. Would be Lightnin' Hopkins.
Oh, yes.
Gonna get me. What is he saying? I'm going to get me a mojo hand. I'm going to go to Louisiana. Yeah. Gonna get me a mojo hand. Lightning amazing. Hopkins, yeah. It'd be amazing. You know, I think he influenced Cobain. I think Kurt Cobain even talked about being influenced by him.
Oh.
Fucking great.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it.
He's got that other song, I'm gonna go get me my shotgun.
What? No. He's got a song. Yeah, I mean, there's so many blues so songs. Good. It's like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know. Or like Howlin' Wolf where you're talking about.
right.
Running away from your girlfriend's husband.
Mojo.
Came home and caught you.
Backdoor men. Yeah, oh man, Mojo Hand, that's so fun. Such a good, fun song. He just said that like little wink,
mm-hmm.
you know, just being able to play those tunes. Yeah, I'm going to listen to some of that later. Well, damn, man, I'm going to have to go back over this episode and pick out some of the big ones. So it's War. What was that other band? The reggae Bad Brains.
Bad Brains.
Eye yeah. Against Eye. You gotta listen to that. War, Eye Against Eye. Yeah, check out Have a Nice Life, Death Consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm really into that. Really love that band. They're great. Got any other like top shows? Because the war story was great, so to speak.
Do I have any what?
Yeah, any other like top shows before we go?
Beep 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 beep. Let me see.
Buffering, yeah. Computing. Dwayne is computing.
Trying to think. Click 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 click. Ramones.
Oh, you saw Ramones.
Yeah, and oh, I never thought I was gonna see that when that happened either.
When was that?
Why do you keep asking me when it is?
Because I want to know. I want to know.
You know I'm gonna say I don't remember.
Roughly.
That was in the 80s.
In the 80s.
Before they completely, totally, completely stopped talking to each other. What a sad story those got. But that was an amazing show.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Just exactly the way you would kind of think a Ramones show would be. Just instant mosh pit for the entire show. And they're just like song after song. 1, 2, 3, 4. Just next song. They tore the place up.
Cool. You know, I like listening to Henry Rollins whenever he's on the different podcasts.
And mm-hmm.
He had a pretty good story about being with, I think it's Joey Ramone, near the end of his life. And I think he said... I can't speak for Henry Rollins, obviously. I'm just trying to go by memory here. And I think this was on Rogan. He just said something about sitting with him, and he looked at him and said, you know, you changed the world, right? You know, you like influenced everybody. And Joey Ramone was like, yeah.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah. Sure. Pretty cool. I think it's a podcast, man. Thanks for coming on, Dwayne.
Oh, thank you.
So, you know, this was Dwayne Williams. Where can people find you, man? You're on Instagram and stuff, right? Studio Slang?
Studio Slang and Instagram.
That's easy. Great photographer. Very talented. One of my best friends. Fantastic. Great music recommendations. This has been another episode of Get This, the podcast about things people love. Toodaloo.
Bye-bye.
All right. Gonna go to Louisiana. Get me a mojo hand.
We'll be right back.